It's Thanksgiving, but unfortunately in California, not a great deal to be thankful for, nor is there much to celebrate in Trump's Saudi Arabia response or border talk. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Each week we have a bit of a chat about the latest news and politics out of the US. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Since we spoke last week, the California fires have developed into the worst, the most deadly in the state's history, over 80 dead, some of the bodies so badly burned they might never be identified. How do Californians move on from this this tragedy?
Well, Las Vegas had what's almost that number on one day with a shooting. So Americans have learned to deal with tragedy. This tragedy is really horrible, and I think those numbers are going to go up. But it's going to cause a reflection in the state regarding fire management and where people live. Unfortunately, there are too many people living in the woods. Maybe there'll be a reflection on this. The sad thing is public memory is so short. So 10 years from now, whatever happened there will be forgotten. But I hope not. Californians seem to be a little bit more sensible than that.
Jamal Khashoggi, the CIA, have apparently handed down a report saying Mohammed bin Salman ordered the journalist's death, but Trump has gone on to defend the Saudi prince and the relationship between the two countries. I found it telling that Trump framed the relationship very much in economic terms. Big money from the Saudis, after all. Is America now the country that goes hat in hand to anyone who holds the purse strings?
Well, is this a hired killing? I thought there was a law against that. United States has fallen so much in general global prestige, and this is another nail in that coffin. Can you imagine any other nation saying they've let a murderer go for money? This is a ransom. And this man has no soul. People are shaking their heads all over the country.
I don't like to use the former president as a yardstick, but say Barack Obama, he was accused of rolling over to the Saudis by Republicans time and time again. What do you think he would have done differently in this situation?
Oh, he would have cut him off entirely and said no one in the royal family could come into the country. And there's a good chance the United States would stop taking oil from Saudi Arabia a little by little as the Iran oil fields opened up. So he'd play Iran off against Saudi Arabia and probably to global public applause. My God, the stench of this is just too much.
Well, speaking of that stench, I mean, we can't discount Trump's own economic ties to Saudi Arabia. Can they be seen as coloring the decision?
Of course, of course. Like his hotels and everything else. He said twice this week, "You can't imagine how much this presidency is costing me, but I don't mind." That means you do mind. I see him getting out of town in the last year and turning it over to Pence. He's working on the reasons to do that now.
At home, the White House has restored Jim Acosta's press pass, but introduced new rules for journalists that they may only ask one question at a time. Maybe magnanimously a follow-up will be granted. A rule NBC's Chuck Todd called absurd and said no serious journalist would follow. Thoughts?
Well, Jim Acosta's been in there for a couple of days, has not followed that rule at all. And what's the president done? Nothing. Acosta, not as one this round, she served a knockout on the president. Nobody is paying any attention to this in the press gallery. And I suspect we will have no more press gallery Q&As from this president, probably for the rest of his presidency.
He has been rather shy with the press up until this point anyway.
Yeah, maybe he wants to go and spend some time with the troops.
So I hear. There's also reports this week that Trump wanted to use the Justice Department to prosecute Clinton after the 2016 election, and former FBI Director James Comey, suggesting that, like the whole military situation, that migrant caravan debacle this week, Trump sees government forces as there purely to benefit him.
Yeah, and this is abuse of power, which is unconstitutional and impeachable. These are impeachable offenses. McGahn wrote a memo. And the problem that Trump has now is this is in writing. McGahn's already testified to it. And the Democrats are coming in. They're certainly not going to let this go. And apparently, there are a couple of Republicans who want to ask questions about this. So, and Khashoggi on top of that. This is putting the reasonable Republicans into a real tiff with this guy, not to mention what happened yesterday with the Supreme Court.
I was rather intrigued, actually, to see the Republican response, because some of Trump's closest allies have come out and defended this decision. In fact, they've said he should have actually followed through on it, despite advice not to. But as you say, middle ground Republicans, silent on this as ever, because Trump seems to see everything as an attack. Any kind of statement that comes out and contradicts him, he sees as an attack.
Well, this is beyond that. We're dealing with the constitutional legality here. No member of Congress, no member elected, can abuse the power and authority they have. This is an independent judiciary, and the president cannot order the arrest of anyone. The Congress can, and that's what happened in the Japanese internment. That was a congressional action, but the president does not have that power.
Speaking of Hillary Clinton, her emails, Ivanka Trump has been caught out doing the same thing this week, using private emails for government business while she was working under her father. Is it giving Democrats a bit of a freebie when they're looking for some House investigations to launch?
What do they call this in football, a free kick? Nancy Pelosi now has eliminated all of her opposition. She's looking for that goal. And she'll get it. So this is a scalp that'll be taken.
Speaking of investigations, Trump has reportedly submitted his answers to the Mueller investigation this week at long last, or at least his lawyers have. Is that worth the wait and see, Ed?
Yeah, I read them all. Yes, no, yes, no. This guy, he perjures himself for breakfast. So what's he going to do with something like this? It's ridiculous. Now, he's got some end game in mind here, and I don't know quite what it is, because this puts Whitaker, his chosen person to succeed Sessions, in a very difficult position, because if he has actually said things that are clearly perjurable offenses, Whitaker cannot come to his defense without getting his own head axed. So this is going to be an interesting conundrum. I don't know what's going to be under a Christmas tree, but I think an indictment.
Wanted to talk migration with you as well. I think you covered the situation with the troops quite well last week in terms of the troops, where they've been sent on the border and the like. But this week, on top of a bit more ridiculousness, Trump also, threatening to use lethal force, or authorizing lethal force against people attempting to cross the border, and threatening to close the border with Mexico unless they get things under control. What's your reaction?
He doesn't have the authority to do either one of those things. He cannot close the border on his own. There's no imminent national threat. It'll take a judge about 30 seconds to reopen it. There are about 30,000 people who live in Mexico who are American citizens who cross that border every day in Tijuana. So they're going to lose their jobs over Mr. Trump? I don't think so. All these idle threats. And I think the man's so ridiculously paranoid that he's doing these things without realizing the consequences or understanding what legal authority he really has.
As you mentioned a moment ago there, Trump making the announcement he's finally willing to go visit combat troops in a combat zone. Perhaps he's going to set the border up as a nice little one and just take a southern vacation.
Yeah, and the troops are 60 miles away. So I think it would be really quite interesting to see him in this deep combat zone with cars right behind him, and maybe he could find a desert photo there someplace. Maybe they could, what do you call it? They could paint it up. A piece of desert there, so it looked like Iraq or Iran or something. This man, he's actually petrified of the military and of any kind of a war zone, and has said so in the past.
The midterms blue wave, it is still washing up, Ed. Democrats close to flipping, what, 40 seats?
That's right. It's 38 right now. Two are still outstanding. I don't think the Democrats are going to get them. One of them is someone that Trump wrote off, Mia Love in Utah. It looked like she lost the night of the election, but she's coming back. And a guy in upstate New York, it looks like he's going to come through again from a ballot that came by mail. But nobody in the Republican Party who's in the House or the Senate can feel very comfortable or cheery about this. It's going to be hard for them to have a cheery Thanksgiving.
Given the slow boil, any sort of more lessons for 2020?
Well, let's talk about something we haven't talked about this. And this is the rebuke of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court to Donald Trump regarding the stay that was issued on migrants. When Trump said he issued an executive order to prevent them from being processed for asylum, the judge, in I think 30 seconds, said you can't do that because it violates a U.S. federal law. And he said, oh, it was an Obama judge, and went on about it. And this has never happened in history where publicly the Supreme Court Chief Justice issued a rebuke to the president saying, we don't have Obama judges. We don't have Trump judges. We have judges who work for the American people, and we should be thankful to God they're independent. And he didn't leave it alone. He came back, and he says, well, we'll see what's going to happen here. I'm going to change all of that. What does he mean? You're going to threaten the Supreme Court? Please.
And you mentioned the magic word a moment ago, Ed. Thanksgiving, Friday morning here, of course, but very likely a lot of families are in the States settling down to dinner right now as we speak. What are we thankful for this year?
38 Democrats.
Seems like a good answer to me.
Yeah, I think that settles it. And Pelosi's in no danger. And of course, that means all kinds of devilment for Trump. I think Pelosi is going to be very strategic. She's not going to waste a lot of time on Ivanka Trump. She's going to, embarrass her. But she's going to go after the wall. And she's going to go after all these petty, stupid things he said through various committees and after the members of cabinet who've been violating every rule in the book. But the bigger thing she's going to do is listen to the public. The public wants health care. The public wants the DACA kids dealt with. So she's going to have a positive agenda that's going to be very hard for the Republicans to combat.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Whooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.